welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors. Whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales, we hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Hi, sorry to interrupt the normal flow into our podcast, but just wanted to highlight that the audio for this podcast has been pulled from the recent video that we did with Stephanie of Cogwheel Marketing that is now currently live on our YouTube channel. If you haven't seen that, be great if you could go over. And even if you've listened to this podcast, you can jump over onto YouTube and at least hit the subscribe button so we can let you know of any new videos that are coming up. We'll still pull the audio across into the podcast so that you can access it that way if that's easier for you. But any help in helping us to grow the YouTube channel is also really appreciated. Anyhow, just wanted to mention that because I mentioned early on in the intro about a webcast and didn't want to confuse anyone. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. Thanks a lot. So thank you for joining one of our Revenue Hub webcasts. Today we are delighted to be joined by Stephanie Smith. Stephanie is from Cogwheel Marketing. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Good, doing great.
Stephanie, you're a founder, you run Cogwheel Marketing. I mean, Cogwheel Marketing is a digital marketing company, but you're pretty unique in the sense that you work purely with branded companies. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Cogwheel Marketing before we then touch on what we're going to discuss today?
Absolutely. So Cogwheel Marketing being unique that we work within the proprietary systems, primarily with Hilton, Marriott, and IHG. So not only are we developing the strategy in digital marketing for the hotels, we're also implementing it. So understanding where the brand level marketing stops and hotel marketing level begins to make sure you have a marriage between the systems and strategy, and you're not having a mass amount of overlap between that either. So just finding that balance and utilizing the systems that are available by each of the given brands.
Must be an interesting challenge.
It is. It's all three are so unique in terms of just their system capabilities and what you can and cannot do. So just navigating each of those proprietary systems gets a little bit challenging. And the other thing that's important to realize is even within any given market, depending on the saturation by that given brand, you're still competing against other hotels within the same portfolio. So if you're only not taking advantage of hotel level marketing and only doing what the brand does, then you're sitting in the same boat as other hotels that are likely your competition, even within that brand. So how can you not only differentiate yourself from the comp set, but also differentiate your hotel from other hotels within the same brand?
Within the same brand, yeah. It adds to the layer of complexity.
Yes, absolutely.
And the purpose of this conversation is really around, and it's related to a guide that you've put together. And so we'll make sure that there's the link to the guide so people can dive in, because there's a number of areas we're going to touch on which have some step-by-step instructions. But it's all around that temporary hotel closure. And you've put together a checklist which identifies 8 core areas to look at. That's what we're going to dive into today. So let's get started. And taking number one on your checklist, which is the website. And again, we're looking at it from a focus of branded within Hilton, Marriott, IHG. Some of this may still apply to if you're an independent property, but for the purpose of clarification, a lot of it's talking from your expertise of working with those three brands. So where are we from a website point of view?
Yeah, well, before we go there, I do want to say, because I'm based in the United States and I know, you know, this checklist may be a little bit behind the eight ball in terms of timing for hotels that have already made that decision,
sure,
you know, whether that be in Europe or Asia. But I would say you can also use this as a reverse checklist. So as you are coming out of this and you're looking at this to reopen, you just want to, these are all the channels, websites that you also need to check to make sure your information is clear. And that when you are open, that you're communicating that. I think one of the things that we've seen a lot, especially when you're hearing about all of the call volume that a lot of these websites, especially the OTAs, are not able to handle that amount of call volume.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons we put this together, you know, depending on what channel you use, you want to make it very clear whether you're open or closed and what amenities you have or don't have. So even if your hotel is open, but your pool or your restaurant are closed, you want to make sure that that's super clear across the board, no matter what website that they choose to potentially research your particular hotel. So, you know, in that same vein, what can you do to reduce that call volume and make it easy for them? And then when you're open, you want to make sure that it's very clear. Yes, you're bookable. Yes, you have inventory. Yes or no, you're not open. So anything you can do to bring that call volume down, not only to your hotel, but also through the other channels, will help reduce those friction points.
Yeah, no, very sensible. So then, so on the websites, we're looking at it from a purpose around the kind of temporarily suspending the operations. What should we be communicating? What are the messaging we should be putting out there on our websites? What are some of the key takeaways in that area?
Well, I think the first thing you want to think about is what that verbiaging piece looks like, and do you have an end date? Most of these websites, whether it be your own or other ones, are going to look for an end date. I know that's a moving target depending on what's going on, but trying to stay on top of that is key in that communication piece. So with each one of the brands, most of them have some type of alert system that would show up, you know, with something in red or something highlighted at the very top of the website, just so it's first and foremost. Yep. Same thing if you have an independent site. You know, I really like the, you know, the pop-up, but you also want to have some other type of alert too in case they their browser has pop-ups turned off. If you're not, if you don't have, I would say if you're using the pop-up option, also, you know, update your FAQs and put that alert at the very top of the website. So just kind of navigating through each one of the systems, and the checklist kind of goes in detail. Even if you're not super familiar, I've done that before. I tried to make it so simple. Maybe you have a marketing team that's unfortunately been furloughed. Even as a GM, you should be able to kind of look at these and click step by step to make sure you go through the, because most of these are going to need to be self done as well, because a lot of the brand teams have also been furloughed as well. So you kind of have to take a much more
self-managing self-guided absolutely
DIY approach.
And the systems, again, you know, when you're saying about, you mentioned about sometimes needing an end date, will the systems require an end date, even though you know there isn't an end date necessarily there? Or, you know, are there some constraints in there that you're just going to have to kind of pick some criteria, even though you may not know definitively, and then just keep a rolling watch on that?
So, yes, you are going to have to, with some of the systems, I say maybe half of them are going to require an end date.
Okay.
So I know you're not going to want to put one. So you just put whatever your best guess is and then keep the checklist handy so that you can go back and notate which ones you have a date and which ones need to be modified at a later date.
Yeah.
I guess I'm on the fence whether you should put one farther out and move it forward. Usually that happens. You know, like with openings, that's usually what happens with the major brands when you're doing a new development. They put it really far out, and as you get closer in, they bring that
opening forward,
pull it back and back and back.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's a potential option here. I guess it depends on how you're talk with your revenue management team and define how you're managing your inventory levels.
Okay. So that's the key messaging around the website. I know your second point was to look at your inventory systems. So just take her through the key headlines on that one.
Yeah, so this one's a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I would say working with your revenue management team to make sure that all your inventory levels are brought down to zero and that you're not selling it. So I would say usually I'm working with the revenue manager hand in hand. They'll go and update those, and then I start doing shops, just manual shops on each one of the OTAs, check a couple of those random ones. I try to utilize the meta search sites to make sure one isn't squeaking through or some type of extranet isn't pulling inventory somewhere. But just kind of double check that more than once to make sure nothing's squeaking through the cracks.
Yes, good point. And again, depending on your connectivity, I know you highlight in the guide that, you know, if it isn't a two-way connectivity, then you got to really check through the steps here.
I know that's, I'm sorry if people don't have that two-way connectivity. That's going to make things much more difficult, but you know, it is what it is, I guess.
But it also highlights the importance of checking each step, and then, as you say, doing the shopping to check that nothing is being missed.
Absolutely.
Okay. Central reservations was your third area that you were touching on, and I know in the guide you've got a number of step by. I think around the Hilton area, there's a number of steps that need to be taken. You've kind of outlined that step by step. But in broad terms around this topic, what should we be thinking about?
Yeah, so each one of the brands, so central reservations just being people that are going to circumvent calling your hotel directly and mm-hmm. calling the, you know, 1-800 Marriott number or whatever that is, or their loyalty platform, especially if they're, depending on their demographics, they may be used to using this method for booking, so they may also be using that same methods for cancellations and whatnot. So you want to make sure that that team can give out the correct info on your hotel's behalf when they call that central reservation system. It should be quick and easy within the, you know, for Hilton specifically, like if you've opted into their ResMax program, which is an opt-in program that most hotels do utilize, you want to make sure that data is easy for them to access. And in IHG's system specifically, there's certain form fields within their CMS that you can put messages and alerts to that central reservations office. So just making sure that's, you know, front of the line for them when they're answering the phone.
All set up to direct it in the right way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Superb. Okay. The next area, there's a number of kind of sub, because we're looking at local listings. So we then got Google, Bing, Yelp, a number of others. So quite happy for you to kind of take whether you want to wrap them all in, whether there's certain ones you want to highlight and key points to consider. But I mean, as I say, we're going to be looking at, so in your list, you've got Google My Business, Bing Places, Yelp, TripAdvisor, Yext. Over to you. What's the best advice?
So I'm going to spend some time on Google My Business first, because that's going to be, in my opinion, if you do nothing else from this checklist, this is probably the one that I would put as number one priority. Yep. And I'd been waiting on this feature to come out in GMB for quite some time. So within that GMB, Google My Business ecosphere, previously there was just the kind of permanent closure option. And we obviously didn't want to take that route. And the temporary close option, Google seemed to basically define it and on an industry level. So it was available in some industries before it was available for the hotel industry.
Okay. Yep.
So it took some time. It actually delayed me writing this checklist almost a week and a half, because the there were so many articles that was like, it's coming soon. But it hadn't actually made it into the GMB functionality yet. So finally, it was an actual option to do temporary close. So a couple of caveats with that. There were a lot of people that hesitated using that temporary close because they were afraid it was going to hurt their rankings within GMB or within Google search.
Yeah.
But there's been some articles that came out that said that shouldn't be the case. And the other thing is that you can't accept new reviews during that time, which is actually probably a positive thing. So both Google My Business and Bing Places now do offer the temporary close option. Bing Places also was fairly late, in my opinion, to the game in offering that. So, but it's nice to see that both of those options are available. So if nothing else, if you don't feel like doing any of these other local listing options, just do Google My Business. I think the other thing that people will find out as they go through this checklist, hopefully you already had logins to most of these places. If you're waiting until now, especially if you need to get access from the brand, if you're waiting until now to get that, you are going to be waiting for.
You'll be waiting a while. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. So the other two local listings that I notated on here were Yelp and TripAdvisor. I would say those have a lesser priority than the other ones. Yelp, you know, especially for hotels, isn't as popular within the search functionality. And TripAdvisor obviously is going to be an important one. I mean, the good thing is if you have all your I's dotted and T's crossed with your PMS and inventory, your TripAdvisor listing is still load and it just won't pull the inventory. So that's good, but that's with TripAdvisor is one of those that absolutely require a date range for the closure. So if you're going to that route, that's one of them that you absolutely have to have the dates. The last tool that I'll touch on or local listing platform is Yext. A lot of people may not be familiar with that, but it's a back-end platform that all the major brands, Marriott, Hilton, and IHG use to distribute to each of the local listings. So Yext is going to push out to Google My Business, going to push out to Bing Places, TripAdvisor. A lot of these, they don't always talk the same language, but if you do have access to that one would be one you want to make sure is updated. It also needs a close through date as well. If you don't have access to this one though, prior to the furloughing of the major brand employees, it's probably going to be hard to get that access. But that is an aggregate website that pushes out to a lot of different websites.
Gotcha. Okay. So we looked at the local listings. The next two are OTA, so booking.com and Expedia. Are there differences between them? Do you want to talk about them as a collective? Again, I mean, over to you if it's easier to separate them out. Feel free to do it that way.
Yeah, so I would definitely put booking.com and Expedia in the same boat. Even if you're an open hotel, I would suggest looking at, you know, how you've changed your amenities, whether, again, are you closed your pool? I know a lot of my hotels also close their fitness center just from standpoint. So making sure that that's very clear within those OTA websites as well. The other part I wanted to highlight outside of the temporary closure functionality is the guest messaging piece. And I think this is just in the whole scheme of marketing is an underutilized tool that each of the OTAs have. And you can go into the each of their, you know, extranets or admin panels, and there's a messaging section and templates you can build out that are super easy. So you can send messages to guests after booking pre and post stay. And, you know, whether that's communicating, you know, a book direct strategy or whatnot, there's a lot of flexibility in leveraging that guest messaging component that I think's just underutilized in the whole scheme of things.
So just to clarify for my own peace of mind here as well. So you know, there's going to be a lot of bookings sitting in the system. Now, I know there's been articles written recently about how the OTAs are handling cancellations and refunds, and that certainly created some issues here in Europe. I don't know how much, assume probably the same in the US as well. So if I understand correctly, this actually enables the hotel a way that they can reach those guests with some kind of messaging that would be direct to them. Is that right?
Well, I think the way I could not figure out, maybe it exists and I just couldn't figure out. I couldn't figure out how to do a mass email to everyone on the books. But if I was staying open, if I had hotels that are open and for example, the fitness center was closed, I would
have a message.
I would use that messaging to say, you know, a couple of days before check-in, hey, just so you know, this is closed or this unfortunately isn't available.
We talk about OTAs. The next step that you then were looking at in terms of media, whether this is paid media or social media, you've separated those two things out. Looking at the checklist, your recommendation on paid media seems a very straightforward message.
And this one's a hard one because I think some, you know, there is, you know, you do want to have an ongoing marketing presence. But my thought process is a lot of times we're doing marketing, we're looking for people with intent or people that are already in market search and stealing market share from your competition. A lot of those scenarios just don't apply with the given situation.
Absolutely.
And if you're closing the hotel, there's nobody to really manage or maintain those. You're probably in a situation where nobody can actively manage any of these paid media platforms. So from a brand perspective, for example, all the major brands have completely shut down their meta search. So this is, you know, even if you wanted to run any meta search campaigns from a brand standpoint right now, those systems have been turned off.
Right.
You can't still run, you know, individually on your own Expedia travel ads. But again, I would, you know, I would say as you're coming out of this and you're trying and you have a solid date and you know exactly when you're going to open, you can absolutely turn an Expedia travel ads on based on that travel window, and try to take advantage of some of the lower cost per clicks that are out there. I would say, as it relates to paid media, if you're turning everything off now, which the majority of my hotels have chosen to do, we're still having those discussions about when we open back, having discussions with your revenue and sales team, what segments do we think are going to come back first, and trying to put together plans as we see that increase in that ramp up, what can we do to align our marketing strategy and our paid media to take advantage of those first traveling segments. Yeah, I think what's going to happen, at least in terms of the majority of the cost per clicks, whether that's in, you know, SEM or meta search, are super low right now. So if you get in on the right time, I think there might be a little bit of a first mover advantage back into those spaces. Yeah. So being able to maximize those.
Yeah, that seems a natural process to be considering. Absolutely. And then how, from a social media point of view, and I think one of the things we can look at here is probably twofold. It's sort of one, which links to the checklist, what am I doing from a temporary closure point of view? But then there's probably a second element that'd be interested to get your take on, because there seems to be different views of what we should or shouldn't be doing in terms of communicating, how we should be utilizing social media maybe as a way of getting a message out there. So if we focus first and foremost on how you're utilizing the social media from the temporary closure point of view, and then maybe we could kind of pivot a little bit into what we could be doing more generally to kind of keeping a message out there so people stay aware of us.
For sure. So from a temporary closure standpoint, again, if someone is potentially going to be researching to see if you're open or closed, there is a way to, once you have that defined verbiage that you may have used on your website, you can do a post within Facebook, and then you can basically pin it to the top. Yeah. When you do that, no matter when they access your page, if you do a post after that, that basically it's always at the very top. So just another, you know, way to communicate that messaging. But on the other hand, if you do have a temporary closure and you're super creative, or you have a Canvas or PicMonkey or some system like that, you can develop a new cover photo that just makes it also super apparent in addition to the post.
Yeah, so that's a good idea. Yeah.
It's an additional step, but there's already, you know, most of the systems already have created, you know, template options, and you just sub out your logo maybe in your verbiage so that you have something that you can place first and foremost. And then on the opposite side, when you're going back into that, you want to obviously do the reverse and do a we're opening as of date, making sure that's prominent as well. So just switching that messaging and
Would you say, if you've had to put on your website, and as you say, through some of the other, I think you said through TripAdvisor as well, then they require specific dates. I know these things aren't aligned, but would you consider, if you're saying, okay, it's a temporary closure, if you do change that image, putting in the planned, a date around a planned opening? Because you could then always change that image, I guess, to bring it forward if the situation does change. Would you go as far as being that specific out there, or would you leave it still quite vague?
Maybe I would leave it vague if you have the opportunity to leave it vague, just because you have no idea. I think what I would do is when you have that confirmed opening date, and my guess is most hotels aren't going to know that with any level of definitiveness until probably a week out. Then you can re-communicate opening as of, just looking at the, you know, traditional booking window for that hotel. Especially from a transient standpoint, I think if you were able to communicate the new opening date about a week out, you would, you know, have your bases covered.
So certainly jump on that and get that done. Absolutely. And then in terms of from a broader point of view, so I'm sitting there, I followed your checklist, I've kind of ticked it off. I'm not happy about the situation, but we're doing what we have to do. What should I be doing? You know, I don't necessarily have staff, they're furloughed, they shouldn't be working, but I want to keep some, you know, inherently I want to keep some sort of messaging going so that people don't forget about me. How can I kind of use channels to keep that message open at a local level?
I think social media certainly has that opportunity, but you have to be really careful with that messaging component again. So I would say if you're unsure about, you know, if this is going to rub people the wrong way, maybe you stay away. There are some major brands that have suggested that you go dark completely with your paid and your organic strategies. I'm not necessarily a fan of that. My suggestion would be more to lean in, especially if you're a destination. So lean in by showing empathy. So if you're, you know, I know of a lot of hotels that, you know, when they closed their restaurants had donated foods to the staff. So taking a picture of that and showing, you know, whatever you're doing within the community is awesome. You know, if you're doing anything to help your hospital workers or things like that, communicate that, not in a salesy way, but communicate that in a way that shows that you're supporting your local community.
That's what I was wondering, whether you can, it's always so hard, isn't it? Because you want to show that you're empathetic, you're supportive, you're community minded, but then the messaging of that has to be very clean, because you could just seem to be leveraging that situation for a gain later down the line. And you can see people fall into that trap too easily.
I think some of the more successful messaging I've seen has been, you know, I've seen hotels and restaurants alike share make-at-home recipes. So maybe the chef puts together something
that they
would have made in their restaurant and share that one that they can make at home. Yeah. So that's something that I think can be done very well without crossing any lines. I also have a couple of beach properties, you know, who are closed. So they were able to take some of their beach video footage and just say, you know, can't wait for your return. The beach is waiting for you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the video element combined with something, because I think that brings, you know, if you're a beach person, then that's going to bring, you know, anything that can bring pleasant.
Yeah. It's like more a storytelling thing, isn't it? Like, miss you, can't wait to see you soon kind of thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, leaning into that type of thing and then sharing what else is happening in your local community. If you're close, but maybe one of your partners within the community, whether it be, you know, the mall or a local restaurant, if they're doing something, saying, hey, you know, check out what our friends over here are doing, and just try to highlight some of the positive that's still happening.
Oh, that makes sense. And I don't know how it's happening in the US, but we're seeing some of our hotels are utilizing their restaurants, and they're still doing a takeaway or leaning into the delivery. So, you know, the menus are already online. They may do stripped down menus, but again, people can order. They can then, where they can utilize their staff, either in rotas, in prepping and cooking, but then they're able to supply that food out. Is that something that you're seeing happening at all? Because that's something I guess you could be very direct about messaging, because it is providing a service if people are going into a lockdown. So you need to think about that messaging in a slightly different way as well, I would guess.
Absolutely. And this kind of goes back to, hopefully you have access. Like if you are a restaurant within a hotel, you can have separate Google My Business listings for that and communicate within that ecosphere a little bit differently. Google was a little bit ahead with some of the restaurant functionality, more so than they were for hotels. Mm-hmm. But again, if you didn't already have that ecosphere built, which unfortunately, surprisingly, a lot of hotels do not have separate listings, you know, separate Facebook pages, separate Google My Business listings.
Really? Okay.
For their restaurants, but that's certainly, you know, an opportunity to, you know, communicate that and just provide that as an option to the local community.
I mean, that would seem, forgetting this current situation, that would seem like such a obvious is maybe the wrong word, but such a natural thing to do, that even if they haven't got one, maybe they should use this time to get that set up, even if they're not doing the takeaways, so they're ready coming out the other side.
It does seem obvious, but I would say a very large majority of the hotels I work with, the restaurants treat it as more of an amenity or an add-on.
Sure.
But I think
a destination in itself, right?
Yeah, and even if it is, though, it's just about communicating what you have and what you don't have in a clear way, so that to eliminate that guest confusion. So, you know, there are platforms out there to make that easier for you. For example, single platform, if you don't want to have to go and individually update all of these different websites with any new menus that you have, there's a single platform that'll allow you to distribute that menu in one place versus having to log into all these places all the time with your new menus.
Gotcha.
So I think, you know, leveraging stuff like that makes things easier.
Very good. We digress slightly, but still useful. But it all fits in around that messaging piece, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we don't need to be too sensitive around it. It's a tough time, but people have still got to try and keep their businesses open as well. And so if you are doing something, then you still have the ability to be telling people that you are providing and offering this service, whether it be free and it's a community message to key workers, or whether it's a takeaway service that you're using your restaurant for, and that will still be of value to people. So it's just getting the right tone and the right message in the right way, I think, is what comes out of that. Brilliant. Well, look, I mean, this was really just to cover off around a very specific topic. Unfortunately, very unique in these circumstances, and hopefully won't be needed again in the future. But a number of excellent bits of advice in there. And as I mentioned at the outset, we'll make sure that there is a link back. You've got a downloadable checklist as well. So we'll make sure that the link is built in into the verbiage below the video and below the podcast, so that people can access that and download it and then run it for themselves. Perfect. We'll make sure your links are in the details below as well. Thanks for that, Stephanie. Take care.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.